On. We've come to the grand finale of the book of Ruth here. We're in chapter 4. So if you'd like to open up there, Ruth chapter 4, towards the end, we'll be starting with verse 13. But before we come to the passage, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you've brought us this far in your word. And Lord, we pray that you continue to open our eyes to your truth. Your truth here in the book of Ruth, and what you taught people thousands of years ago and that you continue to teach us today. We ask your blessing on this time in Jesus' name. Amen. So I don't know if you've ever had the experience where you're going along in life and you're not sure what's happening and you just keep trudging along, you keep grinding it out, and then you reach a point where maybe you can look back a number of years, depending on how old you are, maybe it's 10. Years. Maybe you can look back 20, 30, or 40 years and you say, you know, I can see what God was doing there. I can see how God was working in my life. But sometimes when you're in the middle of it, you don't see what God's doing because you have a plan and his plan's not matching up with your plan. Guess what? He gets to decide the plan. And I was thinking about this week, and I was thinking about when I was finishing up seminary, and as I was finishing and preparing to graduate, what we do is the prospective pastors, the new graduates, the new pastors that are entering the church world as opposed to the work world. I guess it's work world too. So you put your name out there and churches have a list of the names of the people who are graduating. And I got a call from a church in Easton, Mass., E-A-S-T-O-N. It's in Eastern Mass., south of Boston, about 20 minutes south of where I grew up in Braintree. And not too far from where Christy went to college. And so we were familiar with the area. We went down to Easton. We had never heard of Ashburnham at this point, by the way. We met with the people. We liked the people. We liked the church. And we started to think about it. We started to think, yeah, I think this might be where God wants us. And we started to think about maybe living in this town of Easton. And along the way, though, I got a call from People's Church. And People's Church invited me up here to preach, and I met with the people here. And I remember, this was a little bit unfamiliar for us. First of all, I'd never heard of Ashburnham. And we came out here and we followed our little map because we had no GPS and we found our way here. And, you know, we realized there were some things that we had in Eastern Mass that you don't have here, like street lights and sidewalks and things like that. And there are things you have here that we didn't have back in Eastern Mass, like cows and goats and sheep and things like that. So it's just different being out here. And I remember thinking, we didn't realize that there was a center of town. We thought that South Main was it for Ashburnham, not realizing that there was just a bustling metropolis up the road a piece. We thought it was Mr. Mike's and Roy Brothers, and that was it for the whole town. And I remember Christy and I were thinking, you know, I think God wants us in Easton. We felt comfortable there. That's where we were familiar with. We knew where things were. We knew how to get around. But we prayed a prayer like this: Lord, just make it clear where you want us to be. And the representative from the church in Easton called and said, we pick someone else. Oh, that's pretty clear. And I remember at the time it hurt, right? Like, what's wrong with me? It's there. But, you know, as you go through life, you go through difficult and challenging situations, and not getting that position isn't the worst thing that could happen to a person. Harder things that happen to people in their lives. And you go through hard times and you say, Lord, what is going on? I don't get what your plan is. I think about the church in the book of Acts, and they were all in Jerusalem, and they're sitting there, and they're worshiping God, and they're praising God. But Jesus had told them to go and make disciples of all nations. But they stayed in Jerusalem. And eventually, persecution came to the church in Jerusalem. People being beaten and thrown in jail and in some cases killed, and the church scattered. God used the pain to build the church. People scattered and they spread the gospel all over the Mediterranean world at the time, and it continued to spread. I think about the story of Joseph in the Old Testament, who was sold into slavery by his brothers and ends up in Egypt. But God used that. They used his position to get this position of authority in Egypt so that he could provide many years later for the people of Israel. And I imagine there were moments, and at one point Joseph's in jail, I imagine there were moments he was thinking, what are you doing? What's going on? Sometimes pain is part of the plan. And if the greatest example of this is Jesus. What did he ever do? He never did anything wrong. He was completely innocent. And he went to the cross because pain was part of the plan. We live in a broken world. And that's something I think that people don't always get, because the prosperity gospel is out there saying if you follow Christ, everything will go well in your life. Everybody you know will live to be 110. And you'll be healthy. And you'll have plenty of money. You'll always be in the black in your checkbook. You'll always have more than... No, that really isn't the world that we live in. We live in a challenging, difficult world. It's broken, but Jesus is redeeming it. He has redeemed us. He will fix everything. He will make everything right in the end. But in this world, he tells us, you will have trouble. And the people that we read about in the book of Ruth had some trouble. And I don't have the big, long chart that I'm going to give you today. I'm just going to give you a couple slides today. I don't know if you're sick of them or not yet, but here are our people in our story here. We have Naomi and Elimelech, husband and wife. They have two sons who get married to Ruth and Orpah, and the men all died. Elimelech, Mahlon, Chilion all die, leaving Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah as homeless, poor widows. Okay, imagine how they felt at that moment. Imagine what they were thinking. What is going on here, Lord? Naomi, her name means sweet or pleasant, changed her name to bitter. That's how she felt. She was bitter. She admitted it. She came out and said that she was bitter. And the story continues with Naomi and Ruth going back to Israel. Orpah goes to Moab, and we don't know exactly how her story ended. But they went through a tough place. But last week we read about how Boaz, a man, came into the picture who wanted to marry Ruth. And here's the conclusion of the story. So we're on Ruth chapter 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. And I'm going to stop it there for now. But there's a few things I want you to see in this story as we go through this. A couple of things popped out, not the main point, but I think important points. It says here that God enabled her to conceive. Just so be clear on one thing here. People can do things. People can act and move. But let's remember this. God is the author of life. Unless God causes a child to be born, the child won't be born. God is the author of conception. And God causes a person to conceive, and that life in that womb is precious to God. And this is one of the passages that we read about that confirms that for us as Christians. God causes life to be born, to be created in the womb. And we are thankful for that. We're thankful to the Lord for that. But moving on more to the main point of the story here, God had provided a redeemer for this family, for Ruth and Naomi. And a redeemer that actually points ahead to Christ. Boaz comes into the picture, and these two women are destitute. They don't know where their next meal is going to come from. And they don't know how they're going to be provided for or where they're going to live. And Boaz comes into the picture. And it's actually a picture of what Jesus does for us. He redeems us. He takes us from a bad place. He brings us to a good place. He takes all the bad stuff and the junk in our life, and he redeems it. He fixes it. We need things to be fixed in our lives. And, you know, it's beyond us to do the fixing. And as I was thinking about it this week, kind of a funny thing happened at our home a couple weeks ago. I was playing stickball in the backyard with Caleb, and I swung the bat, and the bat slipped out of my hands, and it went flying into my parents' kitchen window. So for like the 48th time in their lives, I broke one of their windows. But it's like the first time in 30 years it's happened. So, but it was one of those double pane windows, and it one that you turn to roll out, and it's kind of a complicated thing. And what I learned, too, is that when you have a double pane window, they put argon gas in between the layers, all this stuff I didn't even know. I had no way I could have fixed this window. So we had to, you know, send it to an expert, a window fixer guy. And then he came over, and a window installer guy came over and installed the whole thing, did something I couldn't do. And, you know, I just think about our world and our lives. We're broken. We need fixing. Jesus is the great fixer. He's the redeemer. God used a man named Boaz to help these women in their lives. And it doesn't mean everything gets fixed perfectly. It doesn't mean everything's going to change instantly for you in this life. But remember, God is the redeemer. God is the one who can take your pain and suffering, and he can use your pain, and he can turn it around. So that's one of the big points in the book of Ruth. Another big point that's being highlighted here is the lineage. Okay, so I want to give you another little family tree here. So you have Boaz and Ruth, who have a son named Obed, who have a son named Jesse, who has a son named David. And David becomes a king in Israel. So that's one, two, three more generations removed. Ruth and Boaz probably never met David. Maybe, probably not, because David was the youngest of eight. So I'm guessing kind of unlikely. And Naomi probably didn't meet Jesse. That's what I'm guessing based on this story, as we think about this. But the story highlights that these are the great-grandparents of David. Why is this important? It's important because God had a plan for their lives, and he was preserving that line, that lineage of David, before David was even born. And we know how the story continues. David is the ancestor of Jesus. And that's the big part of the story. We can see this looking back. So we see that God had a plan for their lives, even when they didn't understand the plan. God had a plan all along. And I want to point out a few other things to you today. One important note in this passage is this. Ruth was a foreigner. Ruth was from what they would have called a different race. Ruth was from Moab. Ruth is in the lineage of David and Jesus, in the ancestry. And I just think about it. I've talked about one social issue today, so I might as well talk about another one. The issue of race, which is so big in our country and talked about a lot today. And I just don't get why we are dividing each other based on skin color. Why do we do that? Or where your ancestors might have been from. Why do we go through that? And why do we get excited? Why do people get angry about these things? The important thing, and we read in Scripture, is that God told Abraham, through your offspring, all the nations of the world will be blessed. All of them. Not just the people of Israel, but all of them. And I wonder sometimes, why do we pick skin color to divide ourselves? Why not, like, hair color? Why not put the browns over here and the blondes over here and the reds over here? I don't know where you put me. They'd probably send me away if we did that. Or let's do eye color. Let's take the blues, and they can all be together. They're better than the browns. And then the greens, they're over here. And then I'll point something out. My wife actually has green eyes, but right around her pupil is a little layer of orange. And it's really cool, but I don't know where she would fit in because she doesn't fit in with the green people because there's a little bit of orange in there. Now everybody's going to go up to my wife after the church service and be like looking right in her face. If you get that close, back off, okay? All right? But why do we do that? Why are we so concerned about that? So that's an important thing about this story. Ruth is a foreign person who is in the lineage of Jesus, right? Jesus is validating her in this whole story. So let's remember that. There's another thing I'd like you to think about as we think back to the beginning of our summer, the first series of our summer. Do you remember what book of the Bible we did? Just wondering if you were paying attention. Before Ruth. Jonah, thank you. All right, so Jonah was a guy who kept doing the wrong thing. God said go that way, so Jonah went that way. But God still got his way. No matter what you do, God's plan is going to come to pass. Ruth did the right things. Boaz did the right things, and God used them. So some people might say, well, why does it matter what I do? Who cares? Who cares what happens in my life? Because God's going to make things happen. God has a plan, so it doesn't matter what I do. Well, here's the question for you. Do you want to be part of that plan? Do you want to be used for good in God's plan? And here's another thing to remember. There are consequences to our decisions and to our actions and to the things that we say and do, not only for us, but also for the people around us. So there are consequences to what we do, and future generations are affected by what we do. And I was thinking about this past week, and I just wanted to share a story. I'm having trouble talking today. I'll give you two couples. One couple was born in Prince Edward Island, Canada. They weren't a couple yet when they were born. And then another couple was born in Nova Scotia, and they decided to come down to Boston. They were married. They decided to have kids. They started attending a church. They both happened to be attending the same church, and one child from one family grew up and married another child from the other family, and they grew up in Boston and then moved a little bit south, and they had five kids, and the youngest one is talking to you, all right? And you know what? You could all do that with your family tree. You could all think back to when your grandparents met, you know, each other and how it came to be that your parents met, and you know, and then you can talk about how you met and how and who your kids are and how it all came to pass. And I just think about how God works this perfect plan together. And just think about it as being amazing. And I was thinking about it's just I have a hard time doing two things at the same time. God has 7 billion people he's watching right now at the same time. He's working this puzzle together. Do you ever use a Rubik's Cube? You ever try to figure one out? Some of you are smart enough to figure it out. I could get one side figured out, one side the same color, and sometimes I'd get two, and I think my record when I was a kid was 3 sides out of 6. I never got all 6 sides at the same time because whenever I turned one side, the other side color changed, and it got all messed up. But God is able to work all this thing all at the same time, and he works us all together, and he has a plan. And, you know, I think about this, making decisions that affect future generations. It's not just about practicality, where was this person born or that. It's spiritually. And I want to read a verse to you from Exodus chapter 20. And this is in the midst of the Ten Commandments. And God says this, I will show love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. To 1,000 generations. Think about that. If you love God, if you love Jesus, 1,000 generations will be blessed because of you. So Boaz and Ruth, I am convinced, have descendants who are alive today. They probably don't even know who they are, who are being blessed because of what Boaz and Ruth did, because they followed the Lord. So the answer is, why should I do what God says? Why should I follow him if his plan's going to come to pass? You want to do that so that blessing can pass through you to other people. That is why we do this. And just finishing up this chapter, the book, verse 18 says, this then is the family line of Perez. So this is an ancestor of Boaz. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron the father of Ram. Ram the father of Amminadab. Amminadab the father of Nahshon. Nahshon the father of Salmon. Salmon the father of Boaz. Boaz the father of Obed. Obed the father of Jesse. And Jesse the father of David. Now, why do they take the descendants way back to there? Well, Perez was the son of Judah. All right? And let me give you this story really quick. And some of your heads are going to be spinning in a minute, but I do have a really big point here to make with this. Abraham lived about 2,000 years before Christ. He had a great grandson named Judah. Abraham was promised that from his offspring, all the nations of the world would be blessed. That's Jesus. Judah was promised that out of him would come a king who would reign forever. Boaz comes right along in the midst of that. So Judah was about 1800 BC. Boaz and Ruth about 1200, 1300 BC. So there's a few generations in the middle there. And then about 1100 or 1000 BC, David comes along. David is also promised a ruler that will reign forever. That's Jesus. 1,000 years later, Jesus comes along. Let me ask you this. How much of this do you think Ruth and Boaz understood? Very little. Very little did they have the understanding that what they were doing and the decisions they were making were going to affect millions of people. We're here today because Jesus came into the world, right? We're following Christ partly because of this family tree here. They had no idea they were going to be part of it. Ruth and Naomi didn't know when they were going through their struggles that they were part of a much bigger plan. And you and I are part of a much bigger plan, much bigger than us. So here's our tendency sometimes as humans. We get caught up in our own little world. We get caught up in our problems. And I don't want to minimize your problems because some of them are very serious. But take a step back and realize that your life is part of something bigger, part of God's kingdom. And God has a plan for you. He's got a plan for your parents and your children and your grandchildren and all the people you come into contact with that you can't even fathom or understand. So here's what I would say to you. Don't give up. Keep following the Lord. Be faithful to Him. Trust Him. Trust that He does have a plan even when you don't get it. Even when you can't even imagine what's going to happen. Boaz and Ruth, this is about 3,200 years later we're sitting here today. They had no idea that this would all be happening. God has a plan for all of our lives. He had a plan all along. And when you think about things, think about this. What could I do today that might affect things for eternity? Maybe I can talk to somebody and tell them about Jesus and it might affect their eternity. Maybe I can take a step out of my problems and my issues that might be going on. And maybe I can take a step back and look at the bigger picture and trust that God has a plan. He's bigger than us. His plan is much bigger than any plan that you and I have ever had. God has had a plan all along. Let's pray.